Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
Ladies and gentlemen, the dulcet tones of Ted Salmon welcome you to another edition of Whatever Works.
Hello, everyone. Have we started?
Yeah, I mean, I should have faded the music there. That was beautiful, Ted. Perhaps you'd like to give us a song at the end.
Perhaps so. I'll pass round a silver collection. Hello, everyone. Welcome once again to our hour of mayhem and madness. Aidan is with me, as you heard. As usual, for our lovely Whatever Works podcast. How are you doing,
Governor? I'm doing very well. All we do at this point in the show is talk about the weather. I thought it was going to be all right today, but now we've started. It's funny, as soon as we start the podcast, I come out in a sweat. I think there's something deeply psychological going on here. I thought I was going to be cool in my studio. It's only 23 degrees in here, but no, I'm fine, Ted. Thank you very much.
I clearly make you nervous. That's what it's all about.
I think it must be that, yeah. No, but dear listeners, Ted and I have been having a good chat because Ted's been very kindly helping me with a monitor purchase I'm looking to make. And we had a good old chat for 10 minutes and I've been fine. And as soon as we start recording, yeah, you're right. It's that old show business thing, isn't it? The show's beginning and I'm getting nervous.
It's very warm here again today. Anyway, we'll come to that in a minute. Show 210 this is, and we're into August. It's nearly Christmas. Whateverworks.works is our website, and MeWe Group is Whatever Works, so do join us there. Let us know whatever works in your life, and we'll bring all of that stuff to shows going forward. AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan, and TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me. So, yes, sun is out, and it's muggy and horrible, and it's not really kind of bright sunshine. It's kind of subdued, cloudy sunshine. I thought when we got to August, just before August, I was going to get away without using my air conditioner this year at all. I thought, yes, save that money and don't need to get it out and set it all up. But no, on the night of as we went into the 1st of August, it was just too hot. So I whipped it out, missus, and fired it up, working perfectly well. We often bring that one, or I do, back to still using. We won't do it this time. And it's really good. And that night, it was great. And I've not needed it since. I might need it tonight. And just before I hand over to you, I was working out with the help of some online kind of tools and calculators, how much, given current electricity prices, it costs to run this thing, and it worked out to be, based on the specs of my one, 22p an hour, which is, I thought was quite good, because I thought previously I had worked it out to be like 40 or 50p an hour, so I must have got it wrong before, or electricity's significantly reduced in cost. Anyway, I've talked enough, your turn.
It's a shame you can't run it at night when you get cheap electricity. It sort of defeats the point, doesn't it? You ought to be able to sort of battery storage at night and then run it during the daytime. There you go, Mr. Litchfield, there's one for you. Battery storage at night and cheap rate and then use it during the day. Yeah, we got an interesting metric in this house, actually, Ted. You know, I talked about buying an air conditioner this year, and then, like you, I sort of decided it wasn't going to be necessary and haven't done so. And in fact, it's turned out that my dear mother, because she's an elderly lady, her blood pressure's not what it was, and she doesn't feel the warmth as you and I do. And in fact, we've actually laughed about it, because we've been sat in the living room of an evening watching television, and I'm sitting there sweltering, saying, oh, please, can I open a window? I'm so hot. And she says, oh, no, I don't want a draft. I've got a rug over my knees. Yeah. So, I mean, and completely fine, and I respect that. You know, it's just the different body.
I do know what you mean, though. It's my dad is also feeling the cold. He the other day it was piping hot, and he had three layers on. He had a vest and a shirt, and also a fleece on top. And I said, "Aren't you hot?" And he said, "No, I'm just right."
So, well, and you know, on the flip side, it saves me spending £400, £500, £600 on an air conditioner. Yeah. So there we go.
Yeah, yeah, very good. So what have you been up to apart from fighting off the cold? I mean, the hot.
I'll try and say this calmly. I've got a new car! I bought the car.
You were talking. You were talking on the last show about buying a Volvo, but not being able to afford it.
Not being able to afford a Volvo, but what I did manage to afford was the next best thing, which is a Polestar, which is the offshoot of Volvo. Volvo used to have Volvo Polestar. Polestar are now a company in their own right, an electric vehicle manufacturer. And I am the extremely proud and excited owner of a secondhand Polestar 2. And I think I lucked out. I mean, secondhand, I won't go into details. That's nobody's business, to be honest. But it was sub 20,000, nicely, comfortably sub £20,000 price, and which normally the same vehicle, if you went out and bought it now on the forecourt, would cost you 50,000 plus. And I am so pleased. I think I got a winner, and it's just wonderful. And it's got more bells and whistles than you could shake a stick at. It's absolutely incredible. I read one review that said basically it's a laptop on wheels, which it is. And I'm having the time of my life, and I won't go on about it because I think we did talk about possibly having a car special, because of course Steve Litchfield has also just coincidentally purchased a new car almost on exactly the same day as me. I think we were the sort of 48 hours difference, so I think we'll have a car special in due course. So sufficient today to say that I am over the moon, and I've been having so much fun playing with the new car. And incidentally, I was also trying similar maths with working out the cost of charging the car, and coming similarly unstuck to yourself. But I have worked out, I mean, this is here's a data point for you. My old car, Drake, my beloved Volvo diesel, I was doing approximately 22 pence per mile. And I've worked out with my new car, all being well, it's going to be somewhere between 3 and 5 pence per mile. So there's a difference.
Oh, is it electric?
It's fully all electric, fully electric.
Oh, right.
Not a drop of diesel or pollutant in sight.
Yeah, right. And it's Chinese.
It's complicated. It's a Swedish car. It's made in China with parts from Germany. You know how it works. It's actually constructed in China, but it's a Swedish company.
Right.
Polestar are Swedes.
It looks incredibly familiar.
Well, that's because looks like a Volvo. It's based on the Volvo XC40 frame.
Right.
So, you know, I've absolutely lucked out. I've basically bought. And to be honest, in the process of my research, I did look at the electric Volvos with a sort of, oh, if only I could afford one, air. Mm-hmm. And I actually thought, do you know what? I think if I could afford one, I'd still buy the Polestar because I think it's a more attractive car.
Oh, right.
And again, here I am saying I wouldn't talk about it and then waxing on about it. It's entirely Google powered. It's the whole infotainment system plus is controlled by Google. So everything is voice control. So I basically sit in the car and say Google keyword, turn up the heating, Google keyword, do this, Google keyword, play that, Google keyword, direct navigate to so-and-so. You'd hate it, Ted.
Yeah. No, that could form the basis of the special with Steve, certainly.
Yeah.
Because he'll be into all of that stuff. I haven't got a car, as you know. I've got a scooter.
That's
which
right.
Means that I don't have a huge amount of input or interest into cars these days, and I've never had a car ever that has had anything smart in it in terms of Google or any control like that. The electric windows and keyless starting was about my limit. Oh no, sat navs built into the dash. That was the last time I had a car.
I tell you, one of the things that's impressed me, not only is this keyless, it's absolutely less. You open the door, you get in, you drive, and then you get out. You don't put on the handbrake. There is no handbrake. There is a parking brake, but you don't need to put it on because as soon as your bum leaves the seat, the brake comes on automatically. It's just ridiculous. You never see the key. You never think about a key or a start button. You just get in and drive. It's such fun. Right, that's enough. Let's move on.
My dad would hate it.
Ah, foolish Trevor. What's next? Oh, it's me. We start with a really lovely message from an Elizabeth Everly in Michigan, USA. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello.
She writes, "Dear Ted, my husband listens to several of your shows. He introduced me to Whatever Works. The first episode I listened to was the coffee episode." Well, that narrows it down to about 100.
What's it with coffee episode? I wonder if she means the tea party episode.
The lovely one where your parents and my mother and
yeah.
I, all was it, five of us sat down and had tea together. That was lovely. She says, and she goes on to say, "I enjoy listening to you and Aidan." Well, thank you very much, Elizabeth. "One of my favourite episodes," she says, "was the one where you had a pub chat." Wasn't that the tea one? Oh, Elizabeth, you need to clarify here. The episodes from your backlog are helping us get through painting the entire interior of our home. Mm. My goodness me, that is fantastic. So the whole house is being painted to the dulcet tones of Aidan and Ted arguing. My
Yay.
Goodness. I hope that you continue to record episodes for many, many years to come. All the best, Elizabeth Everly, Michigan, USA. Elizabeth, that's very, very kind of you. Thank you for the lovely words. And it's amazing to think that you're decorating a house in Michigan and listening to us. Thank you.
Listening to us bickering.
Yes.
But that's a really nice letter, though, and I was so pleased to receive it. And it just makes it all worthwhile, doesn't it, when you get stuff like that. You think, we're sitting here banging on about nothing, but actually some people do appreciate it. So thank you for writing in, Elizabeth, and husband.
Indeed, thank you.
Right, OK, I said that I would come back eventually to my otoscope, my new otoscope.
Yes.
And this is a otoscope with a screen of its own. Now, the one that I had previously on the show, you had to run it through an app, which means you needed a smartphone or device, and you saw the screen on the device. Now, the software...
Sorry, Ted, may I interrupt? Can you just reiterate for those who don't know what an otoscope is?
Oh, right. So an otoscope is a thing you stick in your ear or any other orifice you fancy. And it's got a camera on the end, and you can see, you know, places that are inaccessible. You can use it in your mouth, your ear, as I say, any orifice you fancy on your human body, or in your cat's ear, or your dog's mouth, or even a drain pipe, or whatever.
I was going to say, if you've dropped a key down the back of the sofa or something.
Yeah, it's probably not long enough for that. But anyway, yeah, it's got a camera on the end and some lights on it, an array of six LEDs on the end of it, and you poke it into wherever you want to see. And it works really well. So what I was saying was that the one that I had before had a an app, and the app was, because it was kind of Chinese in origin, it was really not supported very well, and it was a bit flaky and a bit clunky. It kind of worked, but anyway, in the end it gave up. Now this one, I did a kind of review for this. I'll put a link in the show notes to my review, which is over in my blog. This one has got its own screen. Now the screen is only 720p, which makes the resolution a bit low, a topic we were talking about just before the show, as you mentioned. Screen resolution, but it's all right for what it is. It's a tiny little screen. It's only about, you know, 2 or 3 inches across, so it doesn't really matter, and the 720p screen is fine. As I say, it's got six LEDs on the end of the probey thing. It's got an earwax removal tool, but I really wouldn't suggest anyone uses that, for goodness sake, sticking something in your ear. The difference with that this new one and the old one is that this one comes with those, you know, those black cone-shaped things that you doctors put in your ear to have
yes.
a look in your ear on old year. Well, it comes with some of those, and you stick one of those on the end of it. And so there's no way that you could get that to touch your eardrum. But with the wax removal tool, I think that's really dodgy.
Yes.
I would suggest people chuck them away. Anyway, this thing's really good. It works really well. The battery lasts forever in terms of, you know, occasional use, which I've been doing for a while. And, yeah, it works really well. 1,200 milliamp hour battery, rechargeable, USB-C. Hurrah! Only one step away from AA's. And it's currently about £35 to buy. Well, it was when I checked. There's a voucher and a promo code. It should be... £50, I think, and it's 35.
£47.99, so 48 at the moment.
Oh, has it not got the voucher and stuff on it?
Yes, it has, yes. Yes, it has.
So if you work all that out, it comes down to about £35. Anyway, it's really nice, works really well, and I think it's good value, and having it not being an app, you definitely approve of.
I'm very, very tempted. I can't really justify £35 just because I'd like to look down my ears, but... I would, and I'm sorely tempted. Maybe I'll con you into lending me yours for a while when you finish with it.
I've got a wonky ear, as regular listeners will know, and I need to keep an eye on it, because in my left ear I've got a hole in my eardrum, And so I get recurring infections and stuff. Yeah. But I have got a good use for it now.
And yeah, you have a good medical need for it.
Anyway,
I must say, with all these frogs in my throat, perhaps I should look down there and see what's going on. Apologies for all the continuous coughing. There's another one. Jeremy Harpham brings us how do you pronounce? I mean, really, these names. T-O-S-S.
Toss me.
Yeah, I was trying not to say that, actually, Ted.
Toss me!
He brings us a toss me garlic rocker. Basically, how to deal with your garlics in your kitchen. I look forward to this brand being mentioned on the podcast, says Jeremy. Well, here we go, Jeremy. I bought this, he says, on Prime Day on the recommendation of a friend. Here comes another cough from Aidan. I find the more traditional garlic press too difficult to use and a fiddle to clean up. Yeah, I can agree with that. This is a doddle by comparison, he says. Crushing, pressing garlic cloves is better for cooking as it eliminates chunks if your fine chopping skills are like mine. And it extracts the most flavour so you can use less to greater effect. I see. What he's talking about is basically squeezing the heck out of it rather than chopping it up. This is a very good copy of the double the price original branded version. It also comes with a silicone sleeve that you just rub a garlic clove in to remove the outer peel before you crush it. Yes, I've seen those before. They are clever. Preparing garlic for cooking is now so much quicker, as is the tidying up afterwards. Dishwasher proof too. I paid $6.99 on Prime Day. Even the current $7.99 is not bad. Do you know, Jeremy, I mean, I don't know if I've even said it on the show before, but garlic is my absolute favourite flavour ever. In the world, bar none. And, you know, I will cook and somebody will say, oh, I used a couple of garlics in this. I say, a couple? I put six. yeah, I might buy myself one of these. Thank you, Jeremy. That is a very good call. Thank you.
That's a good game we can play. What's your absolute most favourite taste in the whole world? Write in and let us know, everyone, and we'll do a feature on that. Would you like to know mine?
I was just wondering, should we wait till the feature? So I'll leave that to you. Either tell me or wait for the feature.
I want to tell you now because I've got centre stage.
Go on, then. What is it?
My favouritest taste in the world is vanilla. Yay!
Oh yes, I can concur with that.
I love vanilla. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, we'll talk about that some other time. In the meantime, I wasn't going to mention this, but there was so much interest in it in the MeWe group that I thought I'd change my mind. It's the ninja who I bought my ninja who I bought my soup maker from.
Yes,
have launched a new coffee machine.
Oh, it's coffee again. I'm sorry, Elizabeth. Coffee episode number 4056.
Yes. So they've launched this 3-in-1 coffee maker that does precisely measured espresso, cold brew and drip coffee. The Ninja Lux Cafe also has a grinder with 25 settings, a scale for weighing out the perfect dose of coffee, blah, 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 an automatic milk frother, and whisk to get it how you like it. The drip option can brew hot or cold, for the summer or winter. Cold pressing doesn't extract the same flavours as using hot blah, 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 blah. link in the show notes. This thing is £500. And everyone who looked at this thing when I posted it were just so, enthusiastic about it. People in our group just love talking about coffee, don't they? £500, though. You'd have to. Well, this is pocket change.
Yeah,
for you,
I was going to say, be careful who you're talking to here. Do you know what though, Ted? If I may interject, it looks not at all dissimilar to mine in what it does and how well it does it. Yeah, and a quarter of the price.
It looks really nice, doesn't it? You can also make cold-pressed espresso shots.
Any more fares?
Espresso martini. Espresso martini, espresso and tonic. What on earth is that about? Anyway, if anyone's got £500 to spare, obviously that's a serious bit of kit. And Ninja, I can totally recommend from the soup maker and also the air cooker thingy, which I haven't got, but my friend's got, and they love that.
Isn't it funny, Ted? Much as we say we're sorry for talking about coffee, we'll try not to. People want us to, so there we are.
Yeah.
The coffee saga continues forever. Do you know what I bought this week? utterly, utterly unexpectedly, I had one of those things. I was following my mother into a charity shop because she likes to go in and look at the books. And while I was in there, I bought a Bosch AHS3ACCU cordless handheld hedge trimmer.
Oh, right.
I wasn't expecting to do that, but you know what it's like when you walk around a charity shop and you just spot something and think, oh, because it was 15 quid.
Wow.
A cordless hedge trimmer with a battery. I thought, you know, it's one of those things, even if it, well, I was going to say, even if it doesn't work, you're still giving your money to a good cause. And I talked to the lady and she said, oh, well, everything's tested before we sell it and it should be fine. And of course, we had all the jokes about how I'll try not to cut my arm off. And if I have to bring it back, maybe I can't because I can't carry it. Ha, ha, ha. took it home and it works. It's really? Absolutely fine. The battery charges up. The battery runs it. It's not the best hedge trimmer in the world, although who am I to know? I don't have any other hedge trimmers to compare it to. But it does the job very nicely. I can go outside and I can just do little quick trims and stuff on the hedge. And what I love is that it's battery. It doesn't have the cord tethering you to the wall.
Yeah.
I tried to find it online. I wanted to see what it would cost if I bought a new one. I can't find a new one anywhere, which indicates it's probably quite an elderly item. I can find a few on eBay for around 35 quid. And there are places selling the battery. You can buy a new battery at Amazon for about 40 quid if you want one. So I don't know what it cost when it was new or what it would cost you now if you did find one. But I bought it for 15 quid and I'm very happy with it. And if it lasts another week, who cares? I gave my bit to charity and I have a hedge trimmer. So I'm a happy boy.
Very good. Now, the next thing you've got to do is start doing some shaping, making interesting
yes.
Eiffel Towers out of your hedges.
What do they call it? That thing when you shape hedges. Yes, yeah. Okay.
what I was just going to quickly say was that we have got one of these, not this exact model, but we've got a hedge trimmer in the garage and we never use it. And the reason for that is because my dad has, in recent years, decided to pay a gardener to come in and look after the garden. So this bloke does it all for him. If he was to shuffle off this mortal coil, I certainly wouldn't be paying the gardener. I would be using that hedge trimmer, which is sat in the garage. So it'd be interesting to see how much you use it.
Yes, topiary. That's what it's called. And I shall go out and find a hedge to topiary. What's the verb? To topiary a hedge.
To tope.
To tope. I shall go hedge toping. What's next? Oh, a logo. A jingle. What am I on this morning?
I wonder who bought it.
I wonder who bought the Dex Fit cut resistant gloves. And this is quite topical because I'm sitting here with a cut on my finger and I don't know how I got it, but it must have been through washing up sharp things or something. And I thought, yeah, so these are a pair of gloves which they've got something inside of them that prevents you from cutting yourself. Now, whatever these things mean, I don't know. So I'll run through them. Level 5. Cut resistance, Crew 553, 3D, ANSI cut standards, and it's passed the US administration's food contact test, and it's CEEN388-4544 cut proof rated. Right, now all that's out the way. The reality is that they are comfort stretch fit, they have got a powerful grip, they've got durable foam nitrile in terms of the make of the stuff, whatever that means. They've got a smart touch feature, so you can also use the gloves on your phone screen while you've got them on. Machine washable, thin and light, blah, 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 blah. Various sizes, silicone free, $13.99. And if you've got a 35% voucher, if that's still there, that brings it under a tenner. Anyway, I thought that this was quite an interesting thing to be putting in the drawer because I cut my hand this week, like I say. In fact, it must have been today. There it is, really. So somebody's bought that. Thank you for buying that. And hopefully whoever it is can drop us a shout in the MeWe group and say if they enjoyed having them or if they've saved their bacon. A bacon slicing incident will have no space with these on your hands.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with you, Ted. Something to keep in the drawer as needed. I'm impressed that they seem to have about 7 different sizes, and you can buy either 1 or 3. So there's 14, 15 options there. I wonder what 3D is. I mean, of course they're 3D. I mean, any physical item is 3D. I mean, I don't quite know what they mean by that. But yeah, a useful bit of kit to keep in the kit drawer.
Indeed, yes. And thank you, whoever bought that, for doing that, because it gives me a few pennies. tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK. If you ever go to Amazon and want to buy anything, go through that URL, because if you do go through that URL, I get some pennies for whatever you bought. I don't know who buys what, but I do know what's been bought. tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK. Thank you so much, you lovely people.
Yes.
Still using and still using.
I inherited a Morphy Richards Voyager travel iron from my parents when they gave up caravanning well over a decade ago, and this has been sat in a drawer ever since. I've never used it once, I guess it's a still using from, in terms of my parents, 10 years ago. anyway, I had to go to a family event since we last recorded, and I had a crumpled shirt, and I thought, oh dear, I've got a crumpled shirt. Shall I iron it somehow? Anyway, I remembered this thing in the drawer, and I got it out, and it's really nice. It's really solid. It's a little travel iron that is just perfect for caravanners traveling, or, you know, going to hotel rooms, I suppose, or whatever. It's a steam iron. It comes in a little bag of its own. It's got a 3-pin plug. It's even got a little plastic cup thingy to put water in it. No idea how much it was. I can't find it on anywhere for sale now. So it must be a, like your hedge trimmer, gone out of sale. But I will put a link in the show notes to loads of other options on Amazon UK. I'm guessing they probably will be as good quality. This one's just really well built as well. It feels solid. It feels like it's made to last.
Heft.
I know it hasn't had much use in order to test that out. But even so, 10 years later, I think Mum used to use it back in the day when they needed to. Anyway. Very, very nice it is too, and it's called the Morphy Richards Voyager.
So no excuse to be going out with a creased shirt on, sir. Start ironing
absolutely
your shirts
not
at once.
Quite.
I brought you on the 11th of November 2022, show 174, the 300-watt Grandma Shark Leaf Vacuum and Blower. I remember we talked a lot about Grandma Shark and where that name came from.
Yeah.
We've had 2 or 3 Grandma Shark products on the show over the years. This was the vacuum, the leaf vacuum and blower, and particularly vacuum as far as I'm concerned. And I think I've barely ever used the blower part, but the leaf vacuum is fantastic. It's $44.99 today. I paid $39.99 when I bought it. About 6 months ago, the handle broke. It's entirely a plastic moulded thing, which is fine for the price. The handle actually snapped off, but with a session with a epoxy resin and gaffer tape, I managed to put it back together. And to my surprise, it's held fine since then and still going strong. The thing I'm not happy with is being tethered, especially after just talking about the purchase of the hedge trimmer that's cordless. And if you remember the job I did for Ryobi a few months ago, and they gave me a couple of products to test for them for that video. And I've now become quite a fan of the Ryobi system and the battery system and not being tethered. So that's a bit old fashioned and a bit of a chore for me, that whenever I want to use it, I have to plug in extension cables from the garage and run them across the garden, and that's all a bit of a bind. So when the time eventually comes that I have to replace it, I will certainly be looking for something like a Ryobi similar one. But I think the Ryobi are, goodness, pushing £200 if you want to buy one.
Yeah.
Whereas this, as I say, when I bought it, it's around £40 now. But it's really, really useful. It still feels very Monty Python to me to go out and go to vacuum the garden. Oh, yes, vacuum up the leaves. It seems very stupid to take a vacuum into the garden. But it works, and it really does do the job. And it's so, so, so much quicker and easier to vacuum up a whole load of leaves from around the gutters and the corner of the house and the driveway than it is to get down on your hands and knees knees or use a dustpan and brush or whatever. So very useful and still doing the job a year on. So 2 years on, I should say. So good for it. Grandma Shark, leaf vacuum and blower.
Alternatively, blow the bloomin' leaves into a hedge.
Into your neighbour's garden,
which,
yes.
Yeah, or the hedge that you've just trimmed and
yes.
and toped.
I've just toped. The post-topiary, you have to vacuum up the bits.
That's what you do. Get on the roof and just blow the things across to next door's garden.
Next door.
Best idea of going, that is. Well done indeed.
Do you know, it always makes me laugh when you see these council people walking up and down the road, blowing the leaves, and you think, well, all you're doing is you're moving them from place A to place B.
Yeah.
What have you achieved? You know, yeah, it's ridiculous.
I think it's getting them out of the gutters so that the water drains, but there's no excuse in one zone. Well, I suppose there is. Anyway, yes, well, you've chosen that, and I'm glad you're still using. Elizabeth Everly is back, our lovely Michigan-based newest, brightest fan of the show, and she wants to talk about her jug kettle, a Cuisinart 1.7-litre jug kettle. Now, the closest I can find to this in the UK was a pistachio, and I'll put a link in the show notes to that. From Amazon UK. Anyway, Elizabeth says, we purchased this kettle in 2019 and have used it nearly every day since. It's energy efficient and I don't have to guess at the temperature for coffee or delicate teas. I drink loads of hot tea in the winter. It's also
good for you, Elizabeth.
Yay.
Oh, great, I hope.
It's also... No. It's also dead easy to boil water for mashed potatoes, ramen, etc. What's ramen?
I was going to ask you the same. I had no idea. Elizabeth, can you tell us what ramen is, please?
Yeah, you can look it up in the background. I think it's something... Isn't it something to do with rice? I think it's a rice... Anyway, it will remember your previous temperature setting, Elizabeth goes on to say, and is very easy to descale with a bit of vinegar. Most used appliance in my kitchen, she says. And yes, it looks like... We did talk about clever kettles. I think it was... Chris Kelly that was leading up the charge on that. Clever kettles that are full of silicon chips and apps and clever stuff that know what they're doing, and you can keep it at certain temperatures and not let it go above and blah, blah, blah. And this looks like it's just as clever. And, good shout, Elizabeth. What's Raymond?
Oh, Japanese noodle soup. Once a simple street food, it's now become a gourmet phenomenon around the world.
Except here, by the sounds of it.
Yes.
Right, okay. I shall look up Ramen in Tesco and see if I can get some. But anyway, thanks very much, Elizabeth. Well done.
I hope you can get it cheap as chips. Oh,
right, you remember ages and ages ago I had these little food containers that I brought on the show? You probably don't remember.
Oh, I do remember, because I thought I must buy a load, but I don't need any. Yes, very much one of those. Yes, yeah. I do. You know me, I've got a fetish for little plastic boxes. Yes, absolutely.
I use them for soup, and they work perfectly for that. And these little containers, eventually, people who will remain nameless put them in the microwave too many times and the lids go wonky. So I had to get some more, because not because they were knackered, but because the lids were knackered. And the lids are really, really tightly fitting. Anyway, so I go on to our favourite shop and I order these cater-serve food storage containers. And there's 24 in the set. And it costs £13.79, so I better watch out for Judge Barton now. But there are, because there's 24, they're 57p each. Now, it says they're microwave friendly, but actually I'm not going to put the lids in the microwave. I think putting in the bases in the microwave is okay. But and you can also put them in the freezer, which I've done. I think when you switch them between extremes temperatures, so... If you take one out of the freezer and put it straight in the microwave, you're asking for trouble. But if you let things thaw out naturally, right, then it's okay. Dishwasher safe, it says. Again, I'm not sure if I'd trust that. But anyway, 24 in the set, 57p each. And did I tell you the story? No, I don't think I told you. The other day, I was bringing some soup from one location to another, and I dropped one of these on the floor. And it landed lid down. Oh. And I thought, oh my word, it's going to be everywhere. But no, absolutely not. It, even though it dropped from about, you know, waist height, the lid was absolutely solidly on. I don't know how they put them on there so well and tightly, but they do not come off. You can shake it upside down and it just will not shift, even with soup inside it, something fluidous. So they're really well made, I think.
Fluidous. There's another one. Excellent, excellent. Fandubby Dorsey. Yeah, I want some, but I just don't think I need them. But excellent, excellent, sir. I'm playing with my new car. I want to fit, in fact, I'm trying to attach my phone to one of the air vents, but I'm not having trouble with it. And I had to end up with epoxy resin and glue and clay and blue tack and all sorts of stuff. And it was very ugly. So I thought, right, now I've got to find myself something to cut and put in front of it to hide all the work going on behind it. I know what I'll use. I'll use a piece of Perspex, as I did with my bathroom when I redid my bathroom during COVID. I think I talked about that on the show. And I see if I can find any of that black Perspex stuff, what I used. I got onto Amazon. I did indeed find some. Typical of the stupid modern world we live in. I only wanted a very small piece. I wanted a tiny little piece. I mean, if you imagine an A5 sheet of paper, I could have got two or three times the amount I want out of that. So I looked for the smallest I could find, which was an A6 square Perspex sheet, but I had to buy 10 of them. Still only $5.99, so perfectly decent price. A6, if you're interested, is 105 by 148.5 millimetres. So I took one of these sheets, I cut out what I needed, I did the job, it was fine, but I got 9 left. So if anybody wants an A6 piece of Perspex, it's nice, just it's jet black, shiny acrylic, very, you know, it comes with a protective film on both sides. So when you have it and work with it, it's protected. And then once you've got it where you need it, you peel off the film and it looks gorgeous. So there we are. Black Perspex sheeting, $5.99, and I got 9 of them here if anyone wants one.
I was looking at what you might use them for, because there's a bunch of pictures.
And yes.
They're a bigger... Somebody's using it to do product shooting on, so they're using it as a backdrop for photography. Then there's a big one that someone's made into a sign on a wall, and people have made key rings out of them and steps and... I've never been aware of this stuff really before, but it looks like it's quite interesting.
I would give a warning. It's very, very difficult to cut. I mean, I needed a cut-out piece to fit inside the template of the air vent on the car. So I made a paper template and I stuck that onto it and I marked around. And then I used a knife and it took me well over an hour scratching and scratching and scratching with the knife. And when I finally felt brave enough, I would do a little snap and get that piece off and scratching and snapping and scratching. And, you know, at any moment, I might have just snapped the wrong bit and the whole thing would have shattered in half. But it didn't. You need to be very good with your hands and probably a lot more sensible than I am. I was trying to do it with a Stanley knife. I'm sure there are better ways of cutting it. But yeah, good stuff.
Oh, so in the pictures also, someone's using it for art.
To paint on, yes.
Yeah, they painted on it, and then someone's put them in a little stand. So if you had a pub or a shop or something, you could make little table things from it. I've never seen this stuff, I don't think, before. It's really interesting.
I mean, it's just like, imagine you've just bought an expensive old-fashioned Denon stereo amplifier and it's a nice gloss black finish with knobs and buttons on it. Well, it looks like that gloss black finish, you know. It's just got that...
Right.
It's just a nice, bright, very, very glossy, shiny black finish.
Very interesting.
But as I say, difficult to cut. You've got to have a lot of patience and skill to work with it.
I want one. If I can think of a need for one, I'll get you to send me one.
Well, I tell you what,
At the moment, I can't.
The next time I'm sending you anything, Ted, I'll stick one in just so you've got one to have a look at and play with.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, sir.
Ted's top tips, Ted's top tips, Ted's top tips.
What's your top tip today, Ted?
My top tip is don't spend a fortune. As much as I've sung the praises of Eneloop on this very show over the years, don't spend a fortune on Eneloop batteries. Because what I discovered this last week is that the Amazon Basics NIMH, nickel, metal, something or other, they do the same job. And also, the key here is that if you've got Eneloop chargers, they also charge in the Eneloop chargers. So why would anyone buy Eneloop batteries at three times the price? I did the comparison on the pricing, and 24 Amazon ones you can get for £20. 8 Amazon ones are £22. So for 8, the price of 24, you get 8 of the more expensive Eneloop ones. And also, into the bargain, the Amazon basic ones are more capacity as well. So the Eneloops are 2,000 milliamp hours, and the basic ones are 2,400. The same is true of the AAAs as well. So yeah, you're talking about three times the price for the Eneloops. And, you know, my top tip is, if you're into rechargeable NIMH batteries, then do think again. Even if you've already got set up with Eneloops gear, check out those Amazon ones.
Do you know what? I've just had the craziest idea while you were talking. Do you remember that advert for Duracells with the monkey banging the cymbals together?
Yeah.
Well, I wonder how much they cost. Wouldn't it be fun to buy 3 or 4 or 5 of them and then put in the different Eneloop and Duracell and cheapest chips and Amazon basic batteries and just set them going and see which one goes on longest?
I bet you somebody's done that already on YouTube. YouTube is your friend.
Oh dear, sorry, just shutting the window there. Some inconsiderate sods decided to do their garden outside in the middle of my podcast. I mean, really, honestly. Yeah, that could be a fun project. I might give that a go.
Somebody's doing the garden here as well. This is spooky. Do we live in the same house?
Oh, now, wouldn't that be funny? There's the basis for a novel, to discover that we were actually in the same house all these years and didn't know it.
I want one of those.
Right, I haven't got an I want one of those this week, and in lieu of not having one, I'm going to bring you a temporary new section to the show, and I'm not going to write a jingle, because the section's called Surely This Must Be Complete Crap. I just discovered this, and
I approve.
I looked at this, and I thought, really? This is a USB mini portable electric automatic travel laundry washer. £17.53. Now, I must proceed by saying I don't have one. I haven't tried one. I might be absolutely full of this might be the best product out there. I just don't think so. I would bet my new car that this is a complete waste of time, money, effort and the world's resources. How is this going to work? This is this tiny little thing. It's a 5-volt USB piece of plastic. And now we know about it's ultrasonic. The idea is it's an ultrasonic cleaner. Now we know about ultrasonics. I've got them. I think you've had it done before. We've talked about them on the show. These little tiny baths that hold about a quarter of a litre of water, and you put distilled water in at that, and then you put in your jewellery or your watch or your spectacles, and you turn it on, and it goes bzzz for a minute, and it ultrasonically cleans the items, and it works. And I've seen it work, and I believe, and I know it works. And this, I think, is what they're trying to say is going to happen here. If you put it in a sink or a bowl full of ordinary water and a whole load of dirty washing, and then you put this thing in and it's supposed to clean it. I just never heard such rubbish in my life. I don't know. Somebody buy one and prove me wrong. But, I mean, how dare they charge 17, 18 quid for this thing? What do you think?
Well, does it vibrate?
I don't know. Well, I suppose it does, because that's how the ultrasonic cleaning of jewellery and glasses works. So I presume this sits in the bottom corner vibrating and perhaps takes a little bit of dirt off the one T-shirt that happens to be close to it. And that's all that will happen.
I think it depends on how dirty your clothes are. During the grand, what was it, the water shortage of summer 76, was it?
Mm-hmm.
The whole country was told to not use water and to turn off washing machines and blah, blah, blah. And it turned out that people were taking their clothes to wash. Not the super soiled clothes, but just ordinary clothes that are not particular, and take them in the shower with you, and to wash them while you're having a shower, use the soap and the water.
Okay, I can understand that. Well,
while the water's going anyway, okay.
Yeah,
and so that makes me wonder how much people really need the the huge amount of energy that washing machines do for ordinary, everyday bits of clothing. As I say, not soiled, fair enough. If you've got urine all over something, yeah, fair enough. But if it's just ordinary, not particularly dirty things, which we routinely use washing machines, how much of that could you actually do by other means? And this one could be useful in that respect. I don't know. There's also, we've spoken, I think, briefly some time ago about tabletop washing machines, they're used for travelling, and they recirculate and regenerate the water that you put into them, and you recycle it and stuff. It's an interesting topic, I think, particularly for someone who hasn't got a washing machine like me. Now, I know that there's one at my dad's house, and that's fine, but I could actually use something here which is, I don't know, I'd like to think this works.
You know, you should be a politician, Ted. I mean, I totally understand and respect and agree with the premise of everything you've said, but you very cunningly avoided completely the issue of this thing. I totally agree with everything you said about washing and unnecessary energy, but you haven't addressed the fact that this is a piece of plastic that you plug into a USB and expect to clean your washing.
I think we should test it. I think we should get one and test it. I'm in the right place to do it because I haven't got a washing machine.
Hey, do you know what, Ted? We haven't bought anything on the fund for months and months. Perhaps you should buy one of these things and test it and see if you can prove me wrong.
I'll do it before the next show and I will feed back, okay?
Excellent.
Now, I want one of these. Well, actually, I reckon it would be Judge Barton that wants one of these because he's got a push bike and he likes cycling.
That's right.
The Trek Bell Beats electronic bell is also a Bluetooth speaker. Hey! And not a show will go without a coffee or a Bluetooth speaker. Now, this is a bell that you put on your bike, but it also doubles up as a Bluetooth speaker. So you charge it with a USB-C, hurrah. And it's got 8 preloaded electronic sounds on it. So it goes from a cheerful hello to a more urgent, get out of the way.
Oh, lovely.
You've got a kind of, you know, the traditional kind of bell push thingy on the side to actually do it, I think. Or it might be buttons, actually. Anyway, lots of tones to go on in that respect. But also, it's a Bluetooth speaker, which has been audio optimized by Harman. They claim that this thing on the handlebar of your bike, which you can instantly slide on and off, it's got a quick release thingy for your bike, it offers 6 hours of music playtime, it's got an IP67 rating, and it's got a battery indicator, and it just looks like really, really good fun. The bad news is that it costs £100, or thereabouts, but it's... But I mean, compared to other stuff people buy for their bikes, £100 probably isn't a huge amount of money. But anyway, it's really good fun. I challenge Judge Barton to buy one of these and feedback and tell us if it's any good or if it's crap or if it's a complete novelty or actually the 6 hours of music is more like about 1 hour.
Not that I'd ever want to pour cold water on anything you bring to the show, Ted, but... You know, well, you wouldn't know because you don't drive. But, well, no, you know when you're walking down the street and a car comes by and some inconsiderate sod has got their stereo on so loud that the whole street can hear it as they're going by and you think, for goodness sake, turn that down, sound hog. Well, isn't this the biker's equivalent? Isn't the point of push biking that it's peaceful and quiet and you go out and you enjoy the world? And if you are in a more of a built-up area, then are you not being inconsiderate to other people who don't want to hear your radio? I don't know. I would never dare put it on for that reason.
I don't think that cycling is just a leisure pursuit. People need to go to work and...
Yes, that was the second part of my point, is that if you are going to work, then you're driving in an area where there will be other people and...
Might be. Well, you could live rurally, couldn't you?
Well, then in that case, this needs a sensor on it, like my new
bicker,
car.
Bicker.
That recognises people and turns the volume down.
Bicker. Elizabeth will be enjoying this. bicker.
It's discussion. What was that? There was a lovely Maggie Smith line somewhere. I don't argue, I correct. Something like that. You know.
Anyway, Judge Barton, the gauntlet is thrown down. Let's move on.
Better before.
This one isn't really either better or worse before. It was a quest. It's a question of me thinking it was better before and then having to grow up. The other week I had to change the light bulb in one of the in the outside nightlight in the back of the house, a light that was purchased and installed by my father back in the 60s. And then hence using old slot head screws, you know, the old straight screw, not the common Phillips head that we now have. So I climb up on a stool and I'm standing up there ready to do it. And oh, sod it. It's an old fashioned screw. I'll have to go and find one. I've got my Phillips screwdriver in my hand. OK. And I had to go away and find. And in fact, it was quite nice because I found my father's old screwdriver. So it was all quite touching. And I came back and I did the job. And it put me in mind that I remember when Phillips head screws came in. And I thought the exact opposite. And I was thinking, oh, for goodness sake, it's that new stupid thing with the cross on it. I've only got the normal screwdriver here. Oh, I've got to find a Phillips head screw. So it just puts me in mind, and I know I'm guilty of this, and I've been guilty of this on the show a number of times, of refusing to move on, refusing to grow up and accept that the world is changing and go with those changes. And now I appreciate that the Phillips head is a more efficient screw head and it's better and I prefer using it. And every screw I buy now has the Phillips head. And yet, you know, rewind 20 years and I was screaming and cursing, oh, what's this stupid new head thing? I want it to be a normal screwdriver. And that put me in mind of, I did the same thing with monitors. We mentioned monitors both on and off air today already. I remember when the flat screen monitors first came in and I was using old fashioned enormous cathode ray monitors that, you know, as deep as they were wide. And I was furious. Oh, no, I hate these horrible new flat things. And I went on using these cathode ray tubes as long as I possibly could. Now, if I look at one, I think, good grief, what was I thinking? Why did I want to hang on to those? So it's a mentality that I've actually brought forward to my new car now, because my new car, there's barely a button in sight. The whole thing is screen centric and voice controlled. And there's a part of me going, no, I've been on Whatever Works saying I want to have everything like the cockpit of a 747 with knobs and buttons everywhere. That's a dream for Aidan. And now my car's only got one screen in the middle. But you have to just move with the time. So there's a moral to this long rant, which is don't be like Aidan and be stubborn and be an old git and say everything must be as it used to be. Learn to move with the times.
Which is OK, unless you're an old fart. And as I was saying earlier, my dad hates his car because it's got too much automation. He doesn't know how anything works on it. And furthermore, because he's 88, he's got no interest in learning how things work, or he doesn't have the capacity to learn so well and to remember things. And even if he did, he's not interested in the fact that there's a little light in his wing mirror that tells you before you open the door if there's a cyclist coming past.
Yes.
And he's annoyed with all of those things and he doesn't want to use them. He's got a really good reverse mirror screen in the middle of his dashboard. And when I'm driving his car, I use that and it's good. It works really well. And he just won't look at it. He wants to use his mirrors. He said, oh, I'm not using that thing. So, you know, there is that to it as well. The other point I was going to make while you were ranting there was that the same thing is also true now, I think, of Torx and Allen key. I mean, Allen key, they've been around for an awful long time, but we were trying to fix something the other day with an Allen key and we could not find one that fitted the hole. It was falling between two sizes and we both said to ourselves, my dad and I, if this was a Phillips or even a flat head thingy, we could just open it.
Yeah,
but no,
yeah.
It's these stupid sizes. And this Torx thing, Steve Litchfield is just about to send me a phone to review. And that's got a Torx thingy on the end to get the back off. And I have got a set of them, but I think it's going back to what you said, Aidan, is that moving with the times, yeah, okay, but there's so many standards out there, isn't there?
Yes, there are. And I definitely. And also going back again to, as you said, with your father, it's also relative. I mean, you and I, we're a different generation. We're in our 60s. So I think we're still able to say, OK, I don't like doing it this way, but I'm bloody well going to teach myself to do it because that's what everyone's doing. But of course, great respect to your father and to my mother, too, who are of a generation where it's very difficult to teach an old dog new tricks, if I wouldn't call either your father or my mother a dog, but you know what I mean. It's difficult and it's relative, but the point is try to be flexible if the whole world is... It's like the old thing about, no, sir, I was marching in the right step. It was everyone else who was out of step. Eventually, you have to just say, OK, this is what the world is doing and I don't like it, but I'm going to have to try.
And then you go and get a record player and some albums.
Oh dear, Steve Litchfield.
Who's got about four mentions on this show. Hello, Steve.
He's becoming the ghost presenter. Our ghost presenter, Steve Litchfield. Yeah, this was another one that got a huge amount of traction in MeWe. He posted about car insurance, because again, like myself, having just bought a new car, obviously insurance was something he had to tackle. Steve says, I currently pay £380 a year for my car insurance. I'm now trading in my car for a new one, and I phoned my insurer, AA, to tell them the new number plate and car details. After some checking on their computer and a few questions, they say I will have to pay a £230 charge to bring my cover up for the changed vehicle. I point out to the AA that on the likes of Compare the Market, their own quote for my new car is £330, and that I should in fact be offered a refund. No can do, says their computer. Computer says no. Yes, they are. So I have to cancel my current policy, says Steve, take the pro rata refund from them, and then buy the exact same policy with the AA again from the online quote for £330. Oh, I know, Steve, I've been there. I've got that T-shirt, and I had to send it back and get another one. What a faff, he says. This must cost the AA way more to do than simply changing the details of a current customer. But no, this is the screwed up way insurance works these days. And yes, indeed, that sparked a long and very interesting discussion slash debate slash argument among our good MeWe folk about insurance. And I pointed out, I know, I mean, I personally see 380 or 330, three anything as a very good rate. My insurance is more in the 500 or even 600 bracket because I'm a bloody actor. And all my life I've had this problem that being an actor, I'm told by insurance companies, well, you're more likely to have Michael Caine in your car and you might have an accident and he's worth a lot of money. I mean, I have been lucky enough to have had one or two celebrities in my car, so I can see the point. But I mean, really, I mean, that's
it's more important. Importantly, you're just an unreliable kind of bloke.
An unreliable idiot. But, you know, I mean, having celebrities in my car probably accounts for sort of 0.1% of my driving. I do remember once hiring a car in Ireland, and I said this in the group, and very unusually, they asked me what my profession was. So I said, I'm an actor. And the guy immediately, without a blink, said, no, you're not, you're a dentist. Because they wouldn't have touched me if I'd been an actor.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that weird? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So you're
being discriminated against because of your profession.
Yeah, back in the day, I'm talking, you know, 40, 50 years ago, my father had a Rolls Royce. He drove a Roller. He was a fan. And he, it wasn't that long, when I turned 16, he, just for fun, he said to them, my son's just turned 16, he's got his license, what would it cost to put him on the insurance? And they said, no, sir, we can't do that. And my father said, no, I don't think I actually want to, but I was just curious. If money was not an object, and said, no, sir, we won't. We can't. We're not going to. And they refused. And they said, if money is not an object, you simply will not be insured.
Right.
So there we go.
Well, because you were an actor?
Well, I think it was a combination of being an actor and being 16 years old. I mean, that was just too much for Rolls Royce. I mean, really. But no, I do sympathise, Steve. And you know, normal people with normal jobs, even then, the lunacy of having to actually cancel something and then pay for it all over again just to save the admin and the confusion is just ridiculous. It's just part of the crazy world we live in.
You're saying the same thing happened, if you remember, with that thing from Amazon that I bought. I bought it, and the next day it was reduced, and they would not refund the difference.
That's right.
They made me send it back and order a new one. And I said to them the same thing. This is just madness. You're costing so much money with this policy. Talking of Amazon, I reckon that there's a new scam on Amazon. I regularly buy Olbus oil, okay, because I can't breathe half the time. And
right.
I shake it on my shirt, and... it's worked fine. Now, this latest batch of Olbus oil I've got from Amazon is not as strong. And also I noticed they changed the style of the lid on the top, which is supposed to be childproof but isn't. I do not believe what's inside, though, is real Olbus oil. It might be watered down or something. I mean, it smells a little bit of Olbus oil, but it's not as strong. And I just think that I wrote to Amazon and questioned it and said to them, you know, is this supplier, you know? But I mean, there's nothing they can do about it, really, is there? What it's taught me to do, though, is buy the Olbus oil, even if it costs 50p more from Tesco, and not try and get it from Amazon. You do hear these stories about Amazon where they, you know, they can't actually verify stuff coming in from abroad, yes, in terms of its you know, legitimate originality and all that sort of thing. Yes. Anyway,
I just looked on Tesco, £7.30 as opposed to Amazon 7. So you're right, for 30p, yeah, you get the comfort of that, yeah, and of course you're saving the environment because they're not delivering it in cardboard boxes to you.
Except they're coming anyway.
Right, now, Elizabeth, are you painting? I want you to put down your paintbrush and concentrate and get ready to go. Oh, wasn't that lovely? Thank you, Elizabeth. You may now continue with your decorating. Well, I give a quick and big gold star to ukregplates.co.uk, all part of the new car purchase. I'm keeping my old number plate. The irony of this story is, in actual fact, there was a hold-up with the DVLA, and I still, even now, haven't been able to change the plates yet on my new car as I'd wanted. But at the time of this story, I thought I was in a hurry to do it, and I got onto UK Reg Plates. And I ordered, and then I discovered I wanted it quickly. So I sent an email saying I would like to pay the extra money. I think it was about 11 quid to have it delivered, expedited Saturday, you know, blah, blah, blah. How do I do that? Because the website won't let me. I got an email back from this chap saying, don't worry about it. I've upgraded you free of charge. That's fine. And I wrote back saying, that's ever so kind. I'm still waiting for my document from the DVLA. So the moment I get it, I'll send it to you and then you can send it to me expedited. He wrote back and said, oh, don't worry about that. If you've got the old document, that's sufficient for me. I'm happy to accept that. So I scanned it and sent it to him. And the next thing I knew, the next day, my plates arrived in the post. And he didn't have to do any of that. He could very easily have just charged me the 11 quid for starters and then taken his time about it. But I just felt it was lovely, good, old-fashioned, personal, excellent service, simply through just kindness and generosity and wanting to be good to his customers. And I was very, very happy. So I heartily recommend ukregplates.co.uk. I have the feeling it's a small operation. I don't know. I may be doing him an injustice, but I got the feeling it's one gentleman in his home doing this with a machine. I may be wrong. It may be a full company. It doesn't matter. Whatever, it's a wonderful place and he gave me excellent service and I'm very grateful. Gold stars all round, please.
Yeah. I hope he is a bloke in his own home doing it as a small operation. That's really encouraging and nice.
Yes. Thank you, sir.
Right. My gold star goes to Lenovo and UPS. I'm not sure which one.
The other end of the scale. Major, major companies.
Yeah. Definitely. Very quick one. I ordered a stylus from Lenovo and it was on special offer, so I decided to buy it from them and not from Amazon. I declined paying the postage for the expedited delivery. I wasn't in a hurry, so I took the free one. No guarantee of time scale. And this was 4 p.m. Okay, and you know what I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
The very next day, it's delivered through the letterbox, and it arrived 4 p.m. and it came the next day, and that was free. So there's a TED's top tip: if you're not in a hurry, don't pay for expedited delivery. So either anyway,
topiary,
so I was very impressed. Very impressed.
Excellent. Yeah, I think I've mentioned once or twice the amazing just wallowing in the first world craziness of lying in bed at night with your phone and ordering something on Amazon and turning out the light and going to sleep. And in the morning, you get up and you go to the front door and it's on the doormat.
Yeah,
and you
think, amazing.
This is just nuts. Yeah.
two ends of the scale, certainly.
Oh, there
anyway,
you are.
I think we're done. We've had a wonderful show today. I'm very impressed with your easy command and command of the English language. And we'll be back in 3 weeks' time, unless you make us force us into making it 2 weeks, dear listener. Whateverworks.works is where you'll find all the links to the stuff we're talking about. We've been talking about AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan to book him up for whatever you want to book him up. He'll do anything, you know, I'm told.
I think there's a meteor about to land on your house. You better make a move on.
This is the lawnmower that I was speaking about earlier. He made it round to me. Go away. Clear off. Go on. Where was I? Oh, yeah. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me, all the stuff I do, links to all the MeWe groups, all the audio podcasts, of which there's quite a few this week, so watch out for those. And, yes, we'll be back in 3 weeks' time. Last word to you, as always.
Elizabeth, take a break, have a cup of tea, have a bowl of ramen, and see you in the next one. Thanks, everybody. See you next time.
OK, then. One last thing to say, as always. Don't forget, whatever works,
works!
Including this bloody lawnmower. Clear off.